Welcome back then to the Real Madrid podcast, where we round up all of the last week's news in Madrid, and the week begins with smiles adorning the faces of just about everybody connected with the club as this new-look team of Lopetegui's beat Getafe in the season opener in front, though, of just 48,000 people at the Bernabeu. One name dominates the headlines after the match, and that is Gareth Bale. Picked up where Ronaldo left off was the view he did everything right. He was, they said, like Ronaldo, focused and leading the team. He's at last beginning to live up to expectations. About the team overall, it was summed up by the fact that they had 78.05% possession in the game, which was more than any other match since 2009. Toni Kroos made 119 passes. 117 of them found one of his teammates. An amazing performance by Kroos last night. Barely put a foot wrong. Gareth Bale was the man of the match. Keylor Navas again started, had very little to do, was the view there. Those who need improvement. Well, Karim Benzema started well enough, but then he faded completely from the game. Lopetegui's view, he said, we were happy. We dominated a very good team, conceding few chances. My mantra, he said, is work, work. And when you finish working, do some more work. On Keylor Navas in goal, I will make the decisions, he said, on who plays based on what I see. Overall, he said, we have to improve, but we've had a very good game today and we have a really good team feeling about the place at this moment. Gareth Bale spoke to the press afterwards as well in the mix zone. He said, I'm feeling great. Our target this year is to win everything. Same as ever, really. We put in a complete performance today. It's how we have to play every week. And so a sense of relief at Bernabeu, especially as the state of nervousness that hung over the team in the build-up was very evident to see. Lopetegui's pre-match concentrated on the reiterating of his confidence in the squad that he has available to him. He said, we will focus on making the most of the team that I have. We have a lot of talent here and I will work with it every day to ensure we bring the success we deserve. Now, those statements came after the emergence of the details of Real Madrid's bank balance into the public domain on Friday. And it begged the other question of the weekend, which was, if you do have $300 million sat in your bank account, why don't you spend some, if not all of it? And by that they mean, why don't you table an offer for Neymar? Didn't go entirely unnoticed either that Eden Hazard had started on the bench for Chelsea this weekend, but he remembers subsequently, it seems, has ended any speculation he will move. I'm happy here. I won't go, he said. That was an interview conducted in France. And just going back to Neymar for a second or so, he's let it be known to Florentino Perez that if he wants him, he's going to have to make him the highest paid player in world football. Valencia's coach, Marcelinho, has also publicly reminded Real Madrid that if they want Rodrigo, there is a clause in his contract and it currently sits at $120 million, which he believes should be enough to see off any serious interest. Some news out of Paris suggests that if Madrid sweeten any deal for Neymar by offering cash plus one of the following, Kroos, Isco or Asensio, then they may be ready to play ball. Now, there was some worrying news for new signing Thibaut Courtois. Allegedly, there was a dressing room meeting in the last few days. This was after the Super Cup defeat to Atletico, where the senior players, which of course means Ramos plus others, gathered before reporting to Lopetegui that in their view, Keylor Navas should remain as the club's number one keeper, which puts them on an immediate collision course. More reports of transfer market frustration for Real Madrid as it emerged that Lazio turned down a $95 million offer for Milinkovic-Savic. He is due to sign a new contract with a $150 million release clause. They also added, actually, Lazio, that it wasn't just Madrid that had come in for him, but Paris Saint-Germain and Manchester United had also made offers which, as with Real Madrid, were rebuffed. Now, keep an eye on the situation surrounding Vinicius, with some suggesting in the last few days that Madrid's enthusiasm surrounding the player has waned significantly, with a suggestion they are even ready to consider loaning him out for the season. Comparisons now being drawn between him and Odegaard, the highly rated 19-year-old Norwegian, who since his arrival back in 2014 has played just one game for the Real Madrid first team. And he was out at Heerenveen on loan for the last, what, season and a half. Well, it was always going to happen one day, wasn't it? Real Madrid, who had won the last 13 international finals, finally had their run ended by Atletico in that Super Cup defeat in Tallinn. Prior to that, November the 28th, 2000, against Boca Juniors in the then Intercontinental Cup final, was the last defeat. And the mood of optimism built in the last few weeks going into that game, according to media reports, was undone in the space of 90 minutes, as one of the quotes suggested. And this shows you just how quickly the newspapers and media changed their minds in Spain. Madrid has their worst team of the last 3 to 4 years. Lopetegui was honest enough in his summary of the game. Atletico punished our errors and they deserved to win. Some people weren't particularly impressed with Gareth Bale, but Lopetegui weighed in. He said he played a very good game. I'm happy with his performance. I expect a lot from him in the coming games. And if you look back at the interviews that Lopetegui has given when he's spoken about Bale over the last few weeks, you'll find that line has been in virtually every one of them. Now, he had to spare a thought for Keylor Navas at the end of that game. He'd been a model of diplomacy over the last few months. His defence didn't do him any favours whatsoever. But if there were any lingering doubts about his position for the season, it was underlined here. He will be number two, it was said. Now, also spotted was this. Sergio Ramos, normally the mouthpiece whenever there is celebrating or achievements to trumpet, he was seen to be a little bit slow in coming out to comment on the defeat to Atletico before a tweet then miraculously appeared when it was made aware to him. We learned something from every defeat, he said. We will win again. Hala Madrid yesterday, today, tomorrow, forever. Didn't have to wait too long either, did he? It was also noted that there aren't going to be any hiding places for Sergio Ramos either this season. Too many performances like that one against Atletico, and he could find himself as being the next big name in a significantly reduced role. Now, moving on to that Modric saga, which was bubbling along throughout the course of last week. Madrid, it was announced, will report into to FIFA for an illegal player approach. Modric himself was keeping a pretty low profile. Well, again, the topic of the last week has been, what strikers can Real Madrid go out and buy with this €300 million that is said to be burning a hole in their pocket? The list is a well-known one as well. Icardi of Inter, the relations between the two clubs will now be at something of an all-time low after this Modric saga, so the likelihood of that happening is slim to none. RB Leipzig's Timo Werner still remains on that list. He, though, has expressed a strong desire, for the moment at least, to stay in Germany. And Mariano of Lyon still hasn't been discounted. And the one who would walk from Munich barefoot over hot coals if he was given the option is, of course, Robert Lewandowski. Though, once again, the chances are slim. Bayern Munich have already told Real Madrid and the player that he is not going anywhere. Now, there was an interesting overview made of the transfers made over the last few years of the top clubs, and it reveals what points to a club, Real Madrid, whose strategy and business has changed markedly. In the last 5 years, they've sold £421.7 million worth of players, and they have spent 403. Compare that to Atletico, who have a minus 125.45 deficit, and Barcelona, who have spent a huge 807.74 million over 5 years. They'd sold £460 million worth of talent, which gave them a subsequent deficit of 374.14 million. Now, perhaps more rumour than fact again surrounding Cavani's name, which was once again leaping into the headlines. PSG aren't known for their generosity, especially where Real Madrid are concerned. But again, as we mentioned earlier with part exchange deals, another one came into the news and the headlines over the last week. Marcelo going in the opposite direction. Likelihood of it happening very slim, you would have thought, especially after the performance that he put in last night. against Getafe, which was thrilling. Lopetegui's list himself has been passed to Perez, and on it remain Cavani, Lewandowski, Werner, Rodrigo, all known quantities and all with significant hurdles to overcome if they're ever likely to get the deals up and running there. Plus, there is the emergency scenario, so it was said, which is to recall James Rodriguez. But still, more rumour, and literally, it was looking like throughout the course of last week, news outlets simply picking out any name they could and just putting on a back page. Harry Kane, of course, who recently signed that contract extension with Spurs, can be bought, they said, for $226 million. And of course, there is the still-to-be-concluded or rebuffed deal. This was to sign Hazard before he actually said that he was going to stay, but there were a few very disappointed that they didn't actually make serious attempts to sign him. And after all the headlines attaching Pogba to a move to Barcelona, Real Madrid's name suddenly emerged as well as a potential destination. Now, Marcelo was talking in an interview last week as well about Vinicius. He is, he said, the present and the future. We're going to try and keep him calm and relaxed and slowly introduce him to life in Madrid. Lopetegui's interviews have been dissected as well. He's been questioned about just about every topic you can name. On Zinedine Zidane, he said, it's the past. We can't look back. We simply must look ahead. Any doubting of Bale's place in his affections as well were rebuffed. We love him. We love him here. He is motivated. He's excited. He's a superb professional. And we are all convinced he is going to have a fabulous season. And again, he was asked about Benzema. He is, he said, the same as Bale. I always knew that he was a good player. And on his future, he added, he isn't going anywhere. Zidane's name, incidentally, making the news on more than one occasion last week and probably more in the next few weeks to come as well, when it was reported that he was ready to take over at Manchester United, but not until next season. More on the transfer front, there was an offer of $60 million for Pjanic turned down by Juventus. The 28-year-old who's been at Juve for 2 years after spending the previous five at Roma is under contract until 2021. And an offer, they say, of under $85 million will not be considered. Also, we still know Milinkovic-Savic is still on the agenda here, but it's going to take between 90 and 100 to break that stalemate. And Lopetegui as well, remaining keen still on Jerome Boateng and Leonardo Bonucci and Mauro Icardi. And let's not forget that Thiago Alcantara as well, disappointed that Barcelona didn't want to re-sign him, is now even keener on a move to Madrid than he was before. Interesting to see also that Vinicius is being embedded into this squad, as we said, and looking and feeling very much at home. He's also feeling that he is ready to play a significant role, he said, in the team this year, which may be contrary to the thoughts and beliefs of Lopetegui, who has a role for him, but a somewhat lesser one than Vinicius may well be hoping for. It's a situation that needs to be carefully managed there. Remember, he did gather plenty of column inches after his debut at Bernabeu, and there were some who may be jumping the gun, believing that he is somehow ready to explode onto the season and be a decisive player week in, week out to a La Liga title win. But he himself was happy describing that moment as a unique time for me. I have no way of expressing what I'm thinking. It was an incredible experience. And that brings us to the end of the podcast for this week. We will be back with more in a week's time. So wherever you're watching your football over the course of the week, have a great week and we'll see you again next Monday.